In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Return to the Lord your God. It's the drumbeat of our Lenten series this year. Return. We hear God calling out to us, return to prayer. Return from betrayal. Return from false witness. Return from denial. Return to the kingdom of God. Return to the table. Return to truth. Return to the church. Return and see what God has done for you. And so as we launch this series, we gather together first to hear Joel's prophecy and God's invitation. Our Old Testament reading from Joel gets us oriented to the season. It highlights the problem and it lays out the solution in all its beauty and simplicity. God calls us to simply return to Him, because He will address our needs and provide for our salvation. Our task for today is simple. First, we'll look at Joel's prophecy and the context in which it came. What was going on? How did God's word speak to the situation? How might that have sounded to the people? Second, we'll think about whether this prophecy applies to us. Are these words only for the Israelites in Joel's day, or do they have something to offer us as well? Finally, we'll hear this invitation and promise offered to us and spend a little time getting oriented to how we'll walk down this path. Let's begin by doing a little time traveling back to ancient Israel, where we can get some idea of the people to whom Joel is speaking and understand more about what was going on in their world. We don't know a lot about Joel. He was a prophet, likely ministering in the southern kingdom of Judah. The book that bears his name is relatively short. It's only 73 verses divided into three chapters. But it's rich and deep and complex. His jumping off point is a plague of locusts that had or would strike Israel. And that served to foreshadow the coming day of the Lord. Whether that plague was literal or figurative is not clear. But Joel's message is straightforward. A day of judgment will come. And he pleads with the people to turn to God so they will be found righteous on that great and awesome day. The outline of Joel's prophecy is simple. Part one, there's an invasion of locusts that will destroy all vegetation. Joel calls the people to fast at the temple and then offers a prayer of lament over the coming destruction. Part two, if you thought that was bad, there's something even more significant coming. The day of the Lord is coming. It is near. Joel describes the Lord's army using the imagery of destroying locusts. He issues a call to return to the Lord and to fast and pray at the temple. Part three, God responds, first to the locust plague, offering healing and restoration. Then on a much bigger scale, God responds in the day of the Lord, giving salvation to those who call on His name and passing judgment on the worldly nations that have played fast and loose with God's chosen people. Our reading today is drawn right out of the center of the book. The imagery of the swarm of locusts has been completed. The comparisons of the Lord's army and the day of the Lord has been made. And the reader's left wondering, what can be done? It's a little like the scene of the rich young man as he approaches Jesus and asks, what good deed must he do to have eternal life? Jesus counsels the young man to sell all his possessions and give to the poor, presumably to undercut the man's love of money. And the young man goes away sad. Jesus turns to his disciples and explains how difficult it is for someone with wealth to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" You almost hear Joel's audience asking the same of him. Who then can be saved? But Joel brings good news. He brings a promise. And it's simple. It shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. They needed only to return to the Lord their God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. They need only to stop trusting in themselves and trust in God. They need only to realize that just as they couldn't stop the swarming locusts, neither would they be able to stop the judgment day. It will come. All will be affected. And the only solution is to return to the Lord. But are those words only for the Israelites? Might you be facing a swarm of locusts that threatens to completely destroy you? You certainly are. There are small, unassuming little things that each do a little bit of damage. But they add up to a destructive force that descends on the landscape and decimates every good thing in its path. Your sins are your locusts. And while one little locust doesn't seem all that terrifying, when your entire list of deeds is considered, it's breathtaking and terrifying indeed. If the wages of sin is death, and if, as Ezekiel says, the soul whose sins shall die, then this locust swarm of your sins is frightening indeed. Joel's words can and should hit you the same way they hit the Israelites. The day of the Lord will come, and with it, immense destruction and terror. Of yourself, there's no way to escape it. The times you coveted your neighbor's property, when you spoke ill of your coworker or fellow student, when you helped yourself to the office supplies at work because you figured they owed it to you, when you ogled a guy without a shirt on at the construction site or had a little fling with the pretty young woman in accounting, when you lost your temper and screamed at the guy on the bike who didn't get out of your way, when you treated your father with contempt, or dismissed your mother's request to clean up your mess, when you blew off worship because you didn't care to hear what that boring preacher had to say, when you strung together a string of curse words that would make a truck driver blush, when you decided that you knew better than God about everything. That's the swarm of locusts. And destruction of all the vegetation is the least of your worries. Eternal death and damnation should absolutely terrify you. Joel brings good news for you too. He brings a promise, and it's simple. It shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. In spite of your sinful rejection of God, he invites you to return to him and promises to bless you. Stop trusting in yourself and look to God. Know that you cannot stop the swarming locusts, and you can't stop the judgment. It will come. All will be affected. The only solution is to return to the Lord. Over the coming weeks, through online sermons, we'll explore more deeply how God's call to return plays out in our lives. And we'll do so by walking in the steps of the disciples and those who accompanied Jesus in the final days of his life. We'll hear the call to return as it echoes in their ears and maybe come to understand it the way they did. Listen to God's call and return to him, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your thoughts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.